Welcome. The topic today is recognizing and conducting opportunistic experiments. We'll focus on using these experiments at the local level, although the concept also applies to other levels of government. These types of experiments are important because they can provide local administrators with valuable opportunities to learn what works, whether that's in schools or in other public sector settings. To get an overview of the topic, we're joined by Peter Chauchet of Mathematica Policy Research. He's a nationally known expert on rigorous program evaluations of interventions in education, employment, and welfare. Earlier this year, Mathematica authored two guides for using opportunistic experiments in school districts. He joins us by phone from Princeton, New Jersey. Peter, welcome.
Thanks, Andy. It's a pleasure to talk to you today.
So, Peter, I want to briefly summarize for our listeners what we mean by opportunistic experiments. The word opportunistic in this case comes from the fact that we're building knowledge and we're learning what works by taking advantage of opportunities to study policy or program changes that are already being planned. There's an opportunity to study a change, in other words, so we're embedding an experiment, also known as a randomized control trial, so we can see if that change is effective or not. Opportunistic experiments also typically use existing administrative data, data that already exists, so that lowers the cost of the study. At its core, I think of opportunistic experiments as really about a mindset shift in terms of seeing any kind of change in a school policy or an agency or a program as a chance to rigorously learn about what works. Peter, with that introduction, am I right that it's an approach that's used by a lot of successful private sector companies?
I think that's very true. I think in the private sector, they're constantly tinkering with price changes, advertising changes, and that's part of their normal business operations. And they're constantly learning and tweaking. So that's done in the private sector. So, you know, that translates directly into the public sector too. It's just the mindset, as you said.
And tell us about some of the areas in public sector settings that lend themselves to opportunistic experiments.
So I think of sort of four general classes of sort of how to identify opportunities. And that's critical because this is not going to work unless people have an idea of how to identify these things. So the first is you could imagine doing such an experiment for a pilot of a new program or intervention. So if an agency is planning to pilot a new initiative, they can rigorously test whether it's effective by randomly assigning some individuals or locations to receive the pilot or not. I mean, the idea of a pilot is to sort of test something new, and you're not really rolling it out everywhere. So you're just testing it in a small number of places or a small number of people. So the idea here is, well, okay, why not just structure a study where you do random assignment of some that get it and some that don't, and that can really inform whether you would want to roll out the pilot more broadly later on. So that's one class of opportunities. A second class is if a program is going to be rolled out, maybe even broadly, but there's only limited resources to roll it out, so you can't roll it out all at the same time. You know, one idea is that you would sort of randomly roll it out. So you roll it out in certain areas first that were randomly selected, and then the next year you roll it out to the other sites. And so everybody eventually gets it, but in that first year, you have a perfect experiment because you have the sites that get it and the sites that don't, and then you can compare them to see if, in fact, this new program is effective or not. So that's another opportunity to look for. A third category, which is often used in the private sector or even in the political arena, is if there are sort of initiatives that involve communication. So, in other words, providing some kind of information on an existing or a new program services. So you can imagine thinking about different ways to communicate. You could send out letters or multiple letters, or you can make phone calls or some combinations of those. So you can imagine doing that sort of randomly. So some people get some type of communication strategy and others get another one. You can have multiple groups. And so, you know, the idea there is you can really learn quite quickly what sort of communication initiatives might be effective.
One fundamental requirement for doing this, Peter, am I right, is that you need to be willing to create different groups and randomly assign people to them. One group that gets the change, policy change, or the program change, another that has the status quo. In other words, you got to be willing not to roll out changes in a blanketed way where everyone receives the change. This is about creating differences so that we can actually learn if that change is effective. Is that fair to say?
You're right. You, in order to do random assignment, you basically have to have sort of an initiative where not everybody is getting it. So that would involve, you know, either because there's limited funds to roll it out all at the same time, or there's a program oversubscription. For example, in a lottery for a charter school, you know, if there's more people who sign up than there are sort of places, you have a perfect opportunity there that not everybody can get services anyway. So why not determine who gets them randomly, which arguably is a fair way to do it. And you can actually learn something by following both, in that example, let's say the lottery winners with the lottery losers, and, you know, and learn something.
And it's probably worthwhile to point out that the importance of these opportunistic experiments is that we're testing things that we legitimately don't know the answer to, whether a certain policy or program change is actually effective. That's why we're going through the effort of embedding these RCTs, randomized control trials, and creating these different groups to actually answer the question, does this work? If we knew the answer already, we wouldn't need to do that.
That's exactly right. And I would also add, even if something has been tested in a different location, has been shown to work, doesn't necessarily mean it's going to work in your own area. So, you know, you might want to test even something that's been shown to be effective elsewhere. You know, if you can do some kind of a low-cost experiment that you're going to roll out anyway, not everybody can get it initially. So you might as well, rather than just saying, okay, I'm going to just implement this in these five schools, why not gather sort of 10 schools and take five who get it and five who don't? And, you know, you can learn something that's really policy relevant, that really can improve outcomes of individuals that are served.
And can you give us a real-life example, Peter, of an opportunistic experiment that you know of?
Sure. So let me give an example of a pilot. I'm going to focus on it, and you did ask her about education examples. You know, there's a lot of other examples in other fields, but just to help focus here, let's focus on education opportunistic experiments. So let me just give an example back in of a pilot back in 2011. New York City, they announced a pilot to improve literacy instruction in middle schools. And this intervention basically expanded the school day. So kids were going to get 12 extra hours per week of literacy instruction in the middle schools. And this was just a pilot. So, you know, they weren't rolling it out everywhere. They just wanted to sort of test it out and see if it was a good thing or not. And so what they did is they recruited or got 40 volunteer schools in New York City that were interested in implementing this pilot. And they randomly assigned 20 through a flip of a coin schools to get the treatment and 20 schools who were not, because they only had enough funds to serve 20 schools. So,
and can I add that it's not that the students in the control group were denied any services that they had been receiving before. It's just that they weren't eligible for this new version of the services.
Correct. They had their status quo curriculum, which didn't involve this extra school day, but it could have involved anything else that they would have implemented. And what was really nice about this study is for the outcome data, they used sort of district test score data that they got, you know, in the following spring. And these district data were going to be collected anyway. So there was no added burden. And so they simply asked the administrative data folks down the hall to provide data. And, you know, they had a very nice randomized control trial. And they learned quite a lot with minimal cost or burden. So I think that was a very interesting, good study.
So tell us your advice for local public administrators, could be school officials or others that want to do opportunistic experiments. What are some of the key steps involved? What's your advice about getting that started?
Right. So in order to facilitate successful experiments, you know, I think there's several things that a district or whoever local agency can do. I think the first one I like to mention is it's really critical that the agencies sort of establish a strong partnership between themselves and some researchers. The idea is that they each bring different types of skills to the table, and together they can work on developing sort of research agendas and to identify opportunities for experiments. And, you know, these research partners, they could either come from the research departments in the state or local agencies, or they can come from local universities, from professors and grad students who would do this work for free because they're being involved in an interesting study and will get access to data they might not have otherwise. So there shouldn't be much cost or burden in gathering research partners. So I think that's very important. I think the second is that in order for these things to be successful, they can't be sort of one-time shots. They need to be sort of built into normal business operations so that people are looking for these opportunities in order to sort of build a body of evidence. And if they're sort of going on as a normal course of operations, there's going to be a lot of buy-in from policymakers and the administrative data folks to sort of keep this momentum up.
Listeners who are interested in learning more should check out the links that I'll post to the blog, including one report by Mathematica that's very user-friendly for school district administrators. Peter Chauchet, thanks so much for joining us.
My pleasure. Thanks so much.